step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Ariel Tayar is the founder and creative director at Whip Creative Studio, Whip Productions, and Banquet Experiential. She is a serial entrepreneur in the creative field and beyond. Welcome to the show, Ariel.
Thank you so much for having me, George.
Excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal lives, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Let's do it. So I am Ariel. I live in Miami, Florida. I have two children. I'm married to a lovely husband. And I am, as you said, a serial entrepreneur. I'm obsessed with starting businesses and creating brands and telling stories. Whip Creative Studio is a creative agency in which sort of I can really do all those things for other clients. At Whip Productions, I actually produce luxury weddings and events all over the world, and that's really fun. And then at Banquet, we produce events, but more for experiential, sort of for companies. If a company or a brand wants to show up in a sort of more tangible way than just online, so we are the ones that create the strategy and then execute it wherever it may be.
Isn't everything we're doing just going to be online from now on?
No, I think we're really seeing, and that's why experiential is becoming, you know, what it is that we're really seeing a need for people to kind of connect in real space and time. I think people are, there's a shared sentiment that we're kind of like losing our base, you know, we're not connecting face to face. So I really believe at least that as, you know, as the world polarizes and becomes more sort of digital and AI takes over certain things, there's going to be a bigger need for those IRL moments and spaces. I certainly hope so, because I'm definitely banking on them.
You 100% are, and it certainly makes sense to me. I think that the only way that we're ever going to know if anything's real again is if we can actually see it and be in proximity to it. I was going to say touch it, but just be around it. Sometimes touch it.
If you're lucky, exactly. I agree. I think it's also, you know, something that I've always really believed in ever since I was, you know, studying theater in my undergrad, which is, you know, we come to shared spaces in order to connect and feel kind of less alone when we're sharing and engaging in other people's stories or experiences. There's this moment that happens in which we can relate to one another. And we're both, you know, maybe weeping. So we're connecting on that level because we're experiencing something similar. So I've always really believed in that. And I think that's the through line that's carried me through all of my sort of business decisions and decisions in general, right? That need to connect.
So what are you seeing as the trends? Are more companies trying to do more in-person events? Is it remaining static? Is it less?
Yes, I'm seeing many companies start to weave experiential in. It used to be sort of something that only some brands were doing, and it was kind of like maybe if we have enough budget, but we're starting to see it really come into the forefront of strategies for companies. I think then the challenge is, how do you make it authentic? You know, I was just in Manhattan yesterday in the meatpacking district, and I saw the Prada activation that they're doing, which is a Prada, obviously high fashion. And everyone was, there was a line around multiple blocks. And then, you know, people are going to come in and engage with the product and touch and feel. And you ask yourself, you know, there's that level of experience. And then there's experiences that I think are more micro and maybe more, I don't know if authentic is the right word, but can really touch you in a different way. If it's like a select group of people, it's only 50 people are invited, and you're creating a brand, a moment around your brand, bringing those values. I think a brand has to be so much more than just a brand today, right? They have to like align with values and tell a story and create a sort of world around them that people want to engage in. So I'm definitely seeing that as a trend more and more in different capacities.
My day job is in personal finance, and I know that what's germane about that to our conversation is that people make 90% of their decisions around money based on emotion, which means how they feel about things, which is usually pretty startling to people. It was to me the first time. And I read on some information I saw about you is that you became obsessed with making people feel certain ways. And that's really what we're talking about through these experiences, is creating a feeling.
Absolutely. And I think it's exactly related, right? You bring people in a space, you make them feel either accepted or like they belong, or like they can relate to something deeper than, you know, the thing itself. And you've got them, right? You've got them as a customer, you've got them in a different way, in a deeper way. So creating that affinity is, 90, if not 99% emotional. Absolutely.
So when you're talking about your brand, I think that sometimes for maybe individuals, we hear about personal brands, stuff like that, or organizations, that's kind of an abstract thing. Is it about how you're wanting to make people feel? Am I off base?
Is it about how you want to make people? I think yes and no, right? As anyone who's creating a brand, whether it is a personal brand or around a product or whatever, fashion or a podcast, I think we don't exist in a vacuum, and we want to align ourselves with maybe a certain kind of person. We're never going to be for everyone, right? Every brand is not for everyone, aside from some basics that really hit the jackpot, right? But I think we want to align with something. And so, like you just mentioned, the low hanging fruit is, how are you going to make people feel when they're engaging with whatever you're doing? And someone's listening to this podcast, how do you want them to feel? And so I think going from that, or at least that's how I operate. Like you said, maybe most, I'm a very intuitive person, but I would say that's the baseline of everything. How do you want people to feel when they're speaking with you, when they're interacting with you, or with whatever you're putting out into the world? And start from there and build around that and make sure all those pieces kind of fall into place. I do think that I see, when there isn't a clear vision for what that is, that's when brand story can become a little wonky, right? A little, you can lose some trust in your people if you're not kind of staying true to one through line.
And so when you're thinking about, when an organization, we can just stick with companies, when companies are thinking about starting to do in-person events, I could see where you could really go sideways, and to use your term, kind of wonky, if you're working with an investment bank and all of a sudden they're doing some Build-A-Bear workshop or something like that. It's like, this is just kind of odd. So it needs to be kind of aligned, or how do you think about that?
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I think, obviously events like Art Basel, Coachella, some of these cultural events are big kind of moments for my industry. And a lot of times Art Basel specifically is an art festival in Miami, for anybody who doesn't know. And we have these big kind of tech companies or crypto companies coming in and trying to be cool, be artsy and cool. And so we've definitely had that sentiment of like, how do you take something that maybe not a lot of people understand and kind of boil it down into like something tangible, and then adhere it to like a world that maybe isn't your own, And I think actually a lot of interesting things happen there. If you can imagine like a crypto company coming into an art festival, right? Like what happens there when they want to maybe explain what blockchain is through a series of images, right? Like there's actually, I actually love those prompts and I love those moments. Really, you know, they're inspiring for me to create within. That being said, yes, like you have to find the alignment, right? It can go wonky and it can be cool. I don't know to say if there's a science to it. I know to say that I go from my gut and I could tell you if I feel like it'll be wonky or cool, but it's always worth taking a chance, right?
Yeah. It's going with your gut. That is probably something else that a lot of people maybe avoid or they feel like they shouldn't do that. Is that something you've always done?
Absolutely. I can't say if it's always been positive, you know, but you know, for going back to living well and living in alignment with yourself, I think it's your strongest muscle. And if you learn how to really listen to it, it'll guide you again, maybe not in the best possible way, but it'll guide you to where you're supposed to go. I believe that at least that, you know, there's a reason we make decisions and there's a pathway and everything is a stepping stone. Even if it feels like a mistake, it's a lesson. Yeah. Would you agree with that, George? I feel like you're also like a gut follower.
We get so many different thoughts and so many different feelings, you know, going through our bodies and our minds. And I think that all of them are valuable. It's just the challenge is figuring out which ones you want to take action on. Certainly want to notice all of them and give them their due. But obviously I can't, you know, get pulled to every whim or feeling that I have. But 100%, I think it's really important.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great point because I think part of listening to your gut and really trusting it is cultivating a practice in which you can weed out some of the noise. And whether that's a meditation or a movement or reading or whatever you want to do for yourself to kind of, for me, it is meditation. I'll definitely like end the day, start the day with like a moment of like, you know, try to clear out the noise and put away the anxieties or the feelings or thoughts that will make me operate from a place of like fear or a place of anxiety and say like, what's really right? Again, do we always get it right? One can never know. but I think cultivating a practice like that is a huge part of listening to your gut. Don't listen to your gut. Don't go rogue on that. You know, like find a method, I would say.
Don't want to let the tail wag the dog totally. So
yeah.
In terms of when businesses are considering, and maybe that's not the right term, I'll sort of word salad at you and you can sort of try to suss out what it is I'm trying to say. When companies are trying to consider starting events, do you recommend that they have a cadence of events or just one time and then you stop doing it versus one a month? That's probably too much.
Yeah, I think one a month, I think it really depends on the brand and it really depends again what the why is and how you want to engage your audience. Something that's important to note is sometimes these experiences, depends how you decide to go at them, but don't have direct ROI, right? Kind of like Adidas just posted a $70 million commercial that they did for World Cup. You know, yesterday I was talking about it with some colleagues, like when they decide to spend $70 million on a commercial, are they necessarily thinking that that's going to bring ROI or is it a move that the brand needed to do and they needed to cast, you know, Messi and Bad Bunny and Timothée Chalamet and all these big names because it was like a flex and it was a way to position themselves as something other. So I think it's the same with anything that a brand decides to do from a marketing perspective. You can't necessarily on every single output or every single thing you're going to spend money on, just know what your ROI is going to be. What you can do is decide as a brand, if you understand that brand awareness or brand affinity or aligning yourself with a certain culture in a moment in time is going to position you in a place that you want to be. So I don't know if there's again, not a science or a cadence to it, but I think understanding that if you're going to do a one-off, I don't know to say that you're going to go back to your, you know, board and say, we did it. That was awesome. Let's do it again. it's a trickle effect, and it's something you need to have faith in as a founder if you want to go that route. But like I said, more and more people are going that route, and we're seeing a huge influx in kind of an ask for this. So there's something to it. And I think people are starting to understand, you know, that that's the way to stand out. Those stunts, those moments that are, you know, kind of shake things up. You're going to pop up in Times Square, pop up somewhere cool and do something disruptive, right? Like, so it really depends on the brand.
Which certainly makes sense. There's not that many companies that can, you know, spend $70 million on an advertisement, but certainly that's going to go all over social media and have hundreds of millions, if not billions of views. And so it's probably worth every penny. Probably the conversation or the question I should have started with is really getting down to what the reason for the event is, kind of the why, what the motivation is. Is that the appropriate starting point?
Yeah, I would say that. And also to recruit people. I think now as social media has become such a tool for founders, and what, you know, we're calling founder-led content is becoming kind of hero and king at the moment, because people are really loving to see not just the final polished product, but the way in which a founder is building what they're building. It just helps kind of recruit people. So, you know, I love to suggest when I'm working with a client who's launching something to do, you know, let's go down back down to earth a little bit, not $70 million, but even $1,000 or a couple hundred dollars, bring people together in a room and have them and focus group your product, bring people into the room and ask them what they think and kind of recruit them and do that a couple of times, right? Rinse and repeat that in different cities and different groups and different demographics. Because when you do that, again, that trickle effect happens. Those 10, 15, 20 people you've gotten into that room, they feel excited and inspired by the fact that you've invited them into the room to something that's not finished and polished, that's in process. And you've asked them for your opinion and they now have their fingerprint or their mark on that product. So that's exciting to them. And they're going to go out into the world. They're going to tell people that they were in some way part of the development of what you're building. And it's exciting to them. So I always really recommend, and I think that's where experiential starts. It's in those micro moments. You know, it doesn't have to be Times Square. It could be in your living room, literally in your living room. Bring people together and recruit them to be part of your process.
I love everything about that. Founder-led content, probably a term that I should have been aware of. It certainly makes sense. And I think it's encouraging to hear that for most founders, because it's not a finished product. And so instead of thinking about it as, oh, it's not done, so I can't share, you totally flip that and you say, no, you're inviting people in and it's going to cause such a deeper connection with you.
Absolutely. And beyond that, and this is where ego comes into play, and you really got to put it aside for a moment, right? Because it's also an opportunity to latch on to other brands or help promote other brands that are in your world or in your ecosystem. You know, if you're in a kids jewelry brand, so you might want to talk to a, you know, kids snack brand and have them join that event and work together and capitalize on each other's communities. We need to use each other more.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
As founders, we need to use community more. And the second you approach somebody and you don't feel like you've got to kind of hold everything back until it's just right, because guess what? It's never going to be right. Even after you launch, it's not going to be right. And you're going to develop and reiterate and you're going to do that till the end, right? So understanding that it's a process and understanding that bringing people into your journey is actually a massive tool that will only help you, like, kind of, you know, expand exponentially is huge.
When you say it, it makes so much sense, Ariel. Thank you. So
thank you.
Is it a, I guess it's not necessarily obvious how you share that, or, and it's probably going back to just the question about what event should I do and how often should I do it? Well, it's going to be really dependent on the individual and the organization and all that. But for people that aren't necessarily used to being open and sharing of themselves and their journey, they've been building kind of in silence for so long. How do you encourage people to maybe open up and to share more?
So I would say, you know, there are different methods, and each founder or entrepreneur really has to find what works for them. You know, founder-led content is something that's easy for somebody who's content-oriented to do, but for somebody who doesn't love being in front of the camera, it's obviously much harder. So it doesn't have to be that, right? It can also just be a lot of meetings and going on your LinkedIn and finding people and having the, mind I say it, chutzpah, to jump in, write an email and say, hey, I'm, you know, people love to get, and I love this, and I think we underestimate this, people love to get questions about advice. It makes them feel good about themselves. It lets people feel like they're helping. So when I've had, you know, people reach out to me and say, hey, I want to have a creative agency one day, would love to pick your brain. Of course, you know, do it with class and do it with, you know, respect for that person's time. But ask questions, have these little meetings, like create little groups, and it can be very, very small. And an experience around your brand doesn't have to be a big event. It can be a meeting between two people where you're inviting them into something and asking them questions. Because you as the founder are going to be the thing, you know, that draws people in.
Events don't have to be like the Super Bowl. It can be very, very, very small and intimate.
Absolutely. If anything, it's probably more effective that way.
Which certainly makes sense.
Yes.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because I don't even know that I don't necessarily like to go to conferences, because I just feel like I'm, you know, like kind of an ant, you know, with a thousand other ants. But certainly the opportunity to be at a more, for lack of a better term, intimate kind of an event would be of interest to me. I'd far rather go to a dinner or something like that versus a conference. That's just me.
I think many people share that sentiment. It is a very specific type of person that thrives in an environment like a conference with thousands of people. And I think brands and companies have tapped into that, that if they can throw an intimate dinner for 40 top people, and maybe again, they have to rinse and repeat that a couple of times with different groups in order to, you know, reach their metrics or their goals. But those dinners are far more effective and far more likely to create genuine connection than a conference with thousands of people. Does it work in those as well? Of course it does. But I think everybody's looking for these, you know, smaller experiences that they can really connect to on a deeper level.
Again, going back to what you said earlier about being authentic versus just trying to get 50,000 people through a turnstile. Totally different deals.
Totally different deals. That's right. And each one, you know, has its own goal. And so there's no wrong way, but I do think the right way in general is thinking more and more about how you can bring your brand, your business, your project, your initiative outside from behind the screen and into a room. I think that's going to be a very valuable kind of flex for brands moving forward.
Which makes all sense in the world again. So, Is there anybody that, like, how do I know that it's been successful? If I get good feedback, if I get good responses, again, I'm asking stupid questions because it's very relative.
It's not stupid at all. And that's where I was saying with the ROIs, KPIs, it's kind of hard to know. And I think defining those before you even start your event or start to plan your event is really important. So before you even approach it, what do I want to get out of this? Do I want there to be conversation? Do I want there to be a lot of content, which means I need to infuse many photo moments or make, you know, the environment conducive to taking photos? Because you'll be surprised. That's, speaking of being in the room, a lot of times the big KPI is, you know, how is this going to be on media, and are we going to get the right people in the room? So defining what those goals are prior will help you, will just set you up better for success. You know, don't just do it without knowing why you're doing it. If it's sales and if it's tracking leads, then there are ways to do that. Are you embedding QR codes in the experience so that you can track? You know, there are many methods, but you need to first know why you're doing it.
You reminded me, I was watching the Bean Gordon Ramsay show on Netflix, which I think has been extraordinary. I don't think I'm finished with it yet, but he's doing this very ambitious restaurant project where he's putting 5 restaurants in a high rise in England. And he had an event where he just invited like the top 30 influencers. And the idea was that they're going to be taking pictures and sharing it around. And so that certainly seems to fit with the conversation we're having.
Definitely the kinds of things we do. Yep.
Which is pretty cool. How do you feel about Gordon Ramsay?
I like him. I've always liked him. I'm a fan.
He's a compelling character for sure.
Absolutely. I like a strong personality that knows, you know, knows what he wants.
How do you feel about Gary Vee?
I don't know enough.
He's certainly a guy that is sharing his founder journey. So
I should check it out.
You really don't know Gary Vee?
No, I don't.
Oh my goodness. Holy cow. Well, you're welcome or I'm sorry. Content.
You're welcome or I'm sorry. I like that. Okay. I'll let you know how that goes.
Yes. To be continued on that one. So any final piece of advice for a founder who is considering doing events?
Final piece of advice. You don't have to work with an agency like mine. You can do it yourself. But I recommend it. it doesn't have to be big. It could be small. It could be in your living room. Don't be overwhelmed by it. But bring people along for the journey, I would say. That is number one. Bring people along for your journey and don't be afraid. Don't wait for a moment that's, you know, it's perfect. It's never going to be perfect. So just jump right in.
Never going to be the perfect time, Ariel. Just got to go sometimes.
Just got to go.
Take the first step. I love it. Well, Ariel, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
You can find me on my websites. One of the websites, but whipcreativestudio.com is probably the main. And, you know, social media, Ariel Tayar, Instagram. Love to chat. And George, thank you so much for having me on. Letting me jabber about my favorite things. I love it.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure. Thank you. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Ariel your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Give us the website again, please.
It is whipcreativestudio.com.
Excellent. Go there and find her on social media as well. I will make all of those available in the notes of the show. Thank you again, Ariel.
Thank you so much, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.